The Englishman was sitting on a bench in a structure that smelled of animals, sweat and dust. It was part warehouse, part corral. I never thought I'd end up in a place like this, he thought, as he leafed through the pages of a chemical journal. 10 years at the university and here I am in a corral. But he had to move on. He believed in omens. All his life and all his studies were aimed at finding the one true language of the universe. First, he had studied Esperanto, then the world's religions, and now it was alchemy. He knew how to speak Esperanto. He understood all the major religions well, but he wasn't yet an alchemist. He had unravelled the truths behind important questions, but his studies had taken him to a point beyond which he couldn't seem to go. He had tried in vain to establish a relationship with an alchemist, but the alchemists were strange people who thought only about themselves and almost always refused to help him. Who knows, maybe they had failed to discover the secret of the masterwork, the Philosopher's Stone, and for this reason kept their knowledge to themselves. He had already spent much of the fortune left him by his father, fruitlessly seeking the Philosopher's Stone. He'd spent enormous amounts of time at the great libraries of the world and had purchased all the rarest and most important volumes on alchemy. In one, he had read that many years ago, a famous Arabian alchemist had visited Europe. It was said that he was more than 200 years old, and that he had discovered the Philosopher's Stone and the Elixir of Life. The Englishman had been profoundly impressed by the story, but he would never have thought it more than just a myth had not a friend of his, returning from an archaeological expedition in the desert, told him about an Arab that was possessed of exceptional powers. "He lives in the Al-Fayum oasis," his friend had said. "And people say that he's 200 years old and is able to transform any metal into gold." The Englishman could not contain his excitement. He cancelled all his commitments and pulled together the most important of his books. And now, here he was, sitting inside a dusty, smelly warehouse. Outside, a huge caravan was being prepared for a crossing of the Sahara and was scheduled to pass through Al-Fayum. "I'm going to find that damned alchemist," the Englishman thought, and the odour of the animals became a bit more tolerable. A young Arab, also loaded down with baggage, entered and greeted the Englishman. "Where are you bound?" asked the young Arab. "I'm going to the desert," the man answered, turning back to his reading. He didn't want any conversation at this point. What he needed to do was to review all he had learned over the years, because the alchemist would certainly put him to the test. The young Arab took out a book and began to read. The book was written in Spanish. "That's good," thought the Englishman. He spoke Spanish better than Arabic, and if this boy was going to Al-Fayum, there would be someone to talk to when there was no other important things to do.